Welcome to the new Rick Hogan Show at 5 o'clock. It's a miracle, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been listening for the last hour, I have been keeping you abreast of Dave Gallagher's journey to this studio. Dave, you've been in an Uber since...
3:20 from Balmoral and Sheridan. I could do your traffic report.
You could fly to New York.
I could fly to New York at this time that it took me to get here.
Well, there was construction, there are festivals, there are all sorts of things.
Yeah, nightmare. Typical Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. Welcome to Chicago in the summertime, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very special event is coming up Sunday the 29th at 3:30 at Davenport's, the Great Club at 1383 North Milwaukee Avenue. It is your return to performing.
Yeah, in 8 years, I was getting ready to go on tour, and I lost my voice.
How did that happen?
I was taking care of my aunt and uncle. They both went into care facilities, and I had to go to their house. And their house was squalor, and they had a wild cat living in the house. I have severe asthma and allergies, and even though I wore a mask going into their house, the cat smell affected my whole sinus area. And I thought it seemed like a cold or allergies at first, and then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I did a concert actually at the gym on the roof deck of my gym in the Gold Coast with my friend Danny. And that was going to be the kickoff. And I had 8 dates across the country. And I thought, oh, I'll be fine by then. And I wasn't. And I thought I'd postpone them. And it went all the way through December. And I ended up not singing for 5 years.
Were you hospitalized for this?
No, I went to the doctor for it because I do have severe asthma and that. So I have these issues all the time. But not like this.
And what was it? What was the diagnosis?
He said that it was from the cat. I don't like being gross, but the cat urine. The smell was like breathing in ammonia, and so it affected my whole. Which, that's my tone, you know.
Yeah, no, I know.
And it affects my voice.
You're a singer.
Yeah, and it was. I was very hoarse, and then I just thought, oh, it'll come back. You know, it's like asthma or you know allergies and that, and it didn't come back. And then I just kind of, it's not like I'm Julie Andrews losing my voice. You know, who the heck is Dave Gallagher, you know? So, but I just put it away, you know, and I was fine about that because I really...
Were you... that was your life, though.
Well, no, you know, my life is really doing the PR for the other people.
That's true.
I was never... Like, I could have had a big career performing. I chose not to because I really didn't enjoy it.
I went out on the road. What was it you didn't enjoy?
My perfectionism. It drives you nuts because you want it to be perfect. It's not always perfect. And then it was worse after I got done performing because then I'm like, why did I sing up on that note? Or why did that musician miss that? You know, I would beat myself up over it. And it's things the audience doesn't really know, I know.
Did you, in a way, then, think that this cat caused problem was a good thing?
Were you
in pain?
No, I was not in pain at all.
Discomfort?
Just coughing a lot and speaking was a hard thing too. You know, I was just hoarse all the time.
You had been before, and you continued, on to be one of the great boosters of local talent here. How did that aspect of your life start?
You know what? It was funny. I was sitting. I had done work for Arlington Racetrack.
What kind of work?
Where they got to reopen. I was working on their legislative appeal to get reopened.
Sure.
Because I had a political career before my music career. So then I got the big bonus because we passed it and it was going to reopen. And so I was just sitting at the corner of, I'm trying to think of the street, on around Maple, Rush Street area.
Yeah.
At the corner bakery, hanging out there, and Tom Michael,
who lives a block away,
came up and he's like, because I used to do like commercials and the campaigns, and you know that was the thing I enjoyed the most when I ran campaigns. But he said, "Can you look at this press release?" I'm like, "This is awful. Whoever wrote this?" And I started doing stuff for him and that, and we joke about it because
that's a corner bakery at Rush Cedar and
that's
State,
it, Rush and Cedar, that was the hangout for us, and we were always at table number one outside. And he said, look at this. And all he had to give me was, you made the garden party a success. That's all the press he ever had. So then I said, well, why don't we do this? And I'm kind of like wide-eyed and, you know, it's like I had nothing to, you know, make me think I couldn't do something.
Right.
So I said, why don't we go to Billboard magazine with this? Billboard.
Well, you shot big. You were shooting big.
Yeah, and I just didn't know any better. And then here he got on the album spotlight page with Garth Brooks and Little
Kim. Really?
Yes.
Well, Tom's a great performer.
And he's
no
a
question,
great singer.
No question
and,
about it, but that's a big leap for him.
Yeah, and then from that, I got all this national radio play for him. And then by the end of that year, he was performing at Town Hall because he got all this press. You know, so
you're an instant public relations genius, Dave Billings. Instantaneous.
And it was so different back then. It's not the same now.
I agree,
yeah.
And we'll talk about that. It is just great to see you, Dave Gallagher. You were on my whatever show, iteration of my show, 22 years ago, tells me. 22 years ago. And he has done the most excruciating cab. I still call Uber cabs. Uber ride in history to get here. We were talking about his first album in 10 years and his first full-length concert in 8 at 3:30 on Sunday, the 29th of this month at Davenport's. You can go to davenportspianobar.com. We take a little break. You will hear a couple tunes from, what's the title of your album?
It's called Love Songs, .. The Best of Me.
Love Songs, Not in an Uber. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan, my guest Dave Gallagher, who fought his way here along the outer drive and fought his way back from a debilitating encounter with whatever. I don't know what the diagnosis would have been, Dave.
I had 3 TIAs, which they refer to more dramatically as mini strokes, which affected me and everything. Not my voice as much, but my eyesight and
you stopped performing on records and in full length concerts 8-10 years ago. But what you've done, you turned your talents to public relations, to really, really helping and fostering the career of basically a generation of local musicians.
Yeah.
And it started with Tom Michael.
Hey, Tom Michael. Now they're at Carnegie Hall and Lincoln Center.
Michael and that. Becky Menzie and all sorts of other people. Was there ever any, during those years, was there ever any jealousy? Did you ever think to yourself, wait, I could be doing this?
No, not at all. Because one, I never really liked performing.
Yeah,
now I do. I do. I got to say, since I've come back, I'm appreciating it more. But
what do you think is, I don't mean for self-psychoanalysis, what has changed in you?
Because I think after you've had something taken away from you, and
it becomes
more important and more like valuable to you.
So in doing that, you got Tom Michael to the top of the charts, and then I suppose that every other musician in the city who you knew from the musical scene said, Tom said, Dave, can you help me?
Yeah, Tom spread the word, and then I started doing stuff for people at Davenport's, and then they called me up because Karen Mason was in trouble.
Sure.
Because she wasn't getting a crowd in, she needed press, and I got stuff like that, So then they hired me full-time, and then Karen spread the word in New York. So I was getting a lot of New York people, Broadway people, and that's not my wheelhouse.
I'm
a pop guy.
Sure.
Not that I don't like it, but I don't listen to American standards. You know, I was like Billy Joel, Elton John, rock, Queen and stuff like that. That's my thing.
You did in your time, though, sell a lot of, I like the so-called
records. Records, Dave. I do, too. Yeah. I did. I sold 163,000 records, which is amazing. Thank you, Johnny Mathis, because he helped me when I first started.
How?
He gave me his charts that he used in the recording studio.
Why would Johnny Mathis do this for you?
Because I was naive, and I just called his management team. I'm like, I cannot find this music anywhere. Can you help me?
Can you give it to me?
And so they said, well, we'll ask Johnny, or John, they call him John, and he okayed it. And then what happened was then we had our paths crossed many times over the last 20 years. So he gave me his studio charts and then I did an EP tribute to him called The Unsung Johnny Mathis. He put it on his website.
Wow.
I sold, and that was back in the day when people were buying,
right.
Not like today with the streaming.
Downloading, streaming.
Thousands and thousands of thousands of albums.
Wow.
and then back then, iTunes, people downloading the song and everything like that. And then I was getting raped, you know, because I think of marketing, and I did it with his 75th birthday. So I was getting on national radio shows with Stephen Eady and stuff like that. But then it was great because Amazon did a bundle. Because he released an album the same exact day. So it was like, buy the Johnny Mathis album and the Dave Gallagher Johnny Mathis tribute album for a special price. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool, Dave Gallagher. That is really cool.
And then what happened was, and then I hooked him up with our friend Howard Reich.
Sure.
You know, because I'm like, Howard, you've never done a thing on Johnny Mathis. It's like Tony Bennett all the time and all these other people, but he's been with Columbia longer than anybody, and he's like the forgotten child. And so I put Johnny's people in touch with Howard. They did a big feature on Johnny.
I remember it.
And so as thank you, Johnny always had me come to his concerts and go backstage, and the last time was on my birthday. So I took some friends of mine. He took pictures with all of them. He's very kind. And then they said, oh, you know, it's Dave's birthday. And then he burst into singing happy birthday to me.
Johnny Mathis burst into singing happy birthday. Dave Gallagher backstage. Where was it? Where was
that? Was at the Rosemont Theater.
Oh my God.
He's just very nice, though, you know, because you wouldn't think somebody at that level would be nice. They don't have to be.
Yeah, they sure don't.
And then he did radio interviews because, you know, I had gotten associations with a lot of radio DJs across the country and that, and they're like, could you get Johnny on the show? I'm like, well, he might not want to do it. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
But he did it. You know,
wow.
He was very nice, very nice. And so that's a nice thing to hear.
That sounds, I mean, you're that side of your life and the life of promoting and helping, there's something. It's not a selfless thing. You do it for some financial remuneration, but you seem to get a lot out of helping.
I do.
Other
yeah.
performers.
Yeah, it's their dream. You know, it wasn't my dream. I mean, it was all my whole career was accidental.
Yeah.
You know, with the singing.
Tell me about that. Where are you from, and when did you start singing?
I used to sing when I was a little kid, you know, 2 years old. They've got tapes of me singing on key and everything, and I was kind of a show-off as a little kid. But then when I got older, in high school, I kind of was embarrassed about it and put it away.
Where'd you grow up?
In Oak Lawn.
Okay.
So I did that, and then I went on another career direction. Another passion was government and politics.
And
I did that. And then I went to the old Gentry Open Mic with Becky Menzies.
Sure.
And I sang there, and I was shaking. My hands were shaking and everything like that. And then I started, that was like a hobby. You know, it was fun doing that. And then about 7 months later, Tom Michael and I went to a talent contest they were having there. And he encouraged me to enter. I'm like, Tom, I just started. I'm not ready to enter. But I did. And I sang my Billy Joel song. And then I'm getting off stage. And the owner said, stick around. I want to talk to you. And hired me for a gig, and everybody kind of hated me because it was like their lifelong ambition.
Yeah, right. This guy's got another job. Wait a minute.
This was not in the game plan. And then maybe a couple of years after that, you know, I was doing 4-hour gigs there.
Sure.
You know, there was a lot of songs, but it was a good training ground for me.
No question.
And then one night, I think it was Becky had me get up and sing 2 songs during her show, and then this guy came up to me when she went on break, and then he said, where did you hear the song at? And I said, I told him on the radio and that, and he was very, I'm not going to say what he said, but I was like, I'm never good enough. So I'm like, no, it wasn't. And we were going back and forth, and he goes, I can tell you how blah, blah, blah it was. I wrote that song, I'm Jim Brickman. And Jim Brickman is on adult contemporary radio.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Had tons of hits. By the end of that summer, I'm traveling with them on tour. and then it's kind of serendipitous because when I was working with John, and I really wasn't working with him, but helping him get article and that, it was a record he did with Jim Brickman. So I said, it's kind of come full circle that all of us
amazing.
Are together. So
you must sometimes wake up or just before you go to sleep and say, my God, have I had an amazing
life. It is, you know, because it was all unexpected. And then the church tour.
Yeah, what's the church tour?
Well, I met this guy out in Hollywood when I was doing the Hollywood thing. And I met this guy at Starbucks, and he was writing music in that. And I said, well, are you a writer or a musician? He goes, I'm a songwriter in that. And he gave me his demo. And writers would give me their demos, and you might like the music, you don't like the words, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. He had 22 songs in this. Every song I loved. And it wasn't like, I'm not overtly religious, you know, but more, you know.
These were religious songs or Catholic-based?
They were more inspirational, I would say.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
And that I can identify with, going through tough times and struggles.
Sure.
And going, I could definitely go over that. And I sang one of them when I was out there, and people just connected with it. And then there was a minister at one of the clubs, and he's like, would you come out to my church and sing this? And I'm like, sure. And then this whole career opened up, and I was doing these mega church concerts for an hour, and then selling my CDs afterwards, thousands of CDs. And then my last album, which came out 10 years ago, was an inspirational album.
What's the title?
It's called Faith. And it had four top 40 hits on it.
Wow.
And Danny Kravitz, who's on the new album, too,
sure.
I met him at my gym. I met him at my gym, known him for years. And then some guy in the locker room said he had heard me sing at Pettorino's, Denise McGowan's thing.
Monday night, right.
Heard me sing. He goes, Dave, I didn't know you sang. And he was complimentary. And Danny turned around. He goes, you sing? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, how come you never told me? I'm like, I really don't talk about it. And he goes, well, I sing. And he played with Survivor and Alan Parsons.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, well, you never told me about this. I'm like, would you work on my new album with me? And he did. And it's amazing what he did. And he's on the new album, too.
He's performing with you at this.
Yeah, he's my opening act.
At the 29th at Davenport.
And he's amazingly talented. I mean, he wrote the screenplay or co-wrote the screenplay for the Liam Neeson movie called The Marksman.
Right,
A couple years ago.
Wow.
He just shocks me. And he's got great golfer and he does all this stuff.
Well, you were listening to my friend, my old friend, Dave Gallagher, who has been a friend to dozens, if not hundreds, of performers on the local scene and has had an astonishing life. He is coming back. I mean, he's never been away, but he is coming back in a big way with his first album in 10 years and his first full-length concert, not at a mega church, but at Davenport, Sunday the 29th at 3:30. During the next half hour after the news, we will play two songs from the new CD. And you're happy with this way you sound, aren't you, Dave?
For once, I'm happy.
Good. I'm glad the cat problem is vanished, ladies and gentlemen. It's vanished, and he is here. And you will hear him after the news. Welcome back. I have another almost half hour with the amazing and one and only Dave Gallagher. Took him an hour and a half to get here from his house on the north side. But he is back in a big way. He is out with his first album in 10 years, and he's having his first full-length concert. He just doesn't like the whole scene surrounding concerts. He's not going back on the road to play at a million places. He will be at Davenport's on the 29th at 3:30. Talk to me about this new CD. What compelled you to go to the studio and record?
Well, after I got my voice back, I'm like, I have to do it one more time and something that I'm really happy with because I've never been happy. Singers like to hear themselves.
Yeah.
You really don't because you keep picking it apart and I'm like...
Oh, sure. Well, you're a perfectionist.
I'm a perfectionist. And I've always been that way since I was a little boy. So it's very frustrating and I hear all the faults. Like, on the one song that I did on my Johnny Mathis album, I thought, that's pretty darn good. And so I even gave it to the songwriter who wrote songs for Barbara Streisand and wrote the musical Annie.
Wow.
And he wrote me, I just found the two letters he wrote me when I moved. And I was like, oh, I forgot about this. And then he said, could you do one thing? Could you put like a cello or violin on this thing? He goes, I think it'll be great. So I hired the violinist for the three tenors to play over it. And I didn't redo my vocal because I'm like, I can't do it any better. And he did. So we're like, great. And then when I heard the CD, like later on, I heard a page turning. Now, I tell my friends, they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
They don't hear it. I hear it, and it's like magnified.
You're too critical.
These were the songs that I loved singing when I was performing, the ballads. I'm king of the ballads. And these were the songs I said, if I go back in the studio, I want to do these, and I want to have more production on it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear Dave Gallagher. He may run out of the studio screaming. Let's hear, and you set it up for us, Dave. Can't Make You Love Me.
Well, we were going to release another song as the single, but then after Danny did this, he added all this stuff to it, and we're like, this is so beautiful, what he did. It's amazing. And I said, this is the single. People were just flipping out that I had advanced it to. And so I said, we'll start with this one.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here you are. Okay, Dave Gallagher, that's quite a tune, and
thank you.
You sound really good. You sound as good as ever, if not better.
Thank
what
you.
Do you? I know you're self-critical beyond words, but what do you think?
I think that's the best I could do on that song. Yeah, it's emotional, you know, and it's not always about hitting the notes perfectly either, you know. And that was the one thing all the critics across the country wrote about me. It was like they all emotion-packed, you know, an emotional experience in that.
You always have enjoyed, and you can hear it on that tune especially, to surround yourself with talented musicians. Who's playing with you on this?
Well, Mark Burnell, of course. In fact, when I returned to singing at the open mics about 2 years ago now, I went to Mark's open mic first, and he said to me, which is like getting $1 million, he said, when you do your show, he was already sure I was going to do something. He said, when
he's
you
already
do your
planning
show,
your show.
He said, I want to play for you. And when a musician, and I've had some famous musicians come up, which is like, that it's not worth it. I don't care about the money, but when somebody famous says that to you, that's like, oh my gosh, you know, that kind of legitimizes everything I've done. But Mark said, I want to play for you. So he was my first call. I'm like, here we go, Mark. We're going to do this together.
Wow.
And do that. And then I had to have Danny on it. He wanted to be my opening act. And he plays guitar, and he plays a lot of other instruments, too. So I got him, and I said, I've got to get a drummer. And then I heard this sax guy that's as great as Dave Koz. And I saw him at a concert about a year ago, and I tracked him down, and I'm like, you have to play for me. You know, I want you to play for me because he's that great.
Wow.
And
all these people are playing at Davenport.
And all these, I don't know how we'll all fit on there. On the stage, there's like six of us. Actually, I call it five men and a lady because everybody's a guy except the cellist, Elizabeth Anderson, who's the cellist. So, yeah, it's going to be great.
Are you anxious about this show?
You know
or what?
I kind of, usually I freak out. I'm nervous. In fact, my very first night, it's hilarious, and I'm going to tell this story because it's my opening song to the Billy Joel song, You're My Home. So I'm going to open with that. But I'm going to tell the story because that song got me my first gig. And the night came, the big night came. It was a Monday night. They never gave you a Saturday night. That was for Denise Tomasello and
right.
those people.
Yeah, sure.
So I got a Monday night, and it was at the New Gentry, which was big.
Yeah.
It was like being there on a Friday or Saturday night. People were standing in the halls. And so I came out of the dressing room, which was really the men's single bathroom. I come out, and I went up to two strangers. I'm like, are you guys just hanging out or what? And they're like, no, we're here to see this guy singer. And I flipped out. I didn't tell them it was me. I ran back in the bathroom, locked the door. I would not come out. So 9 o'clock rolls around.
This is the performer.
I'm not coming out.
I don't think Sinatra ever did that.
5 after 9, not coming out. 10 after 9, I hear my friends mill around. Is he okay? And they came in the bathroom. It was like a comedy series because we're in this tiny bathroom, and there's like four of us in there. And I'm like, I can't do this. What did I get myself into? And they're like... So anyway, so I'm always nervous, but I'll be nervous probably right before I go on, you know, hoping my voice is okay and everything
sure.
like that. But the fact that everybody here is with me and it's almost sold out. We're almost sold out.
Wow.
They're going to add seats probably.
Go to Davenport. It's DavenportsPianoBar.com. DavenportsPianoBar.com.
Yeah.
So, we got to take one more break. We'll come back and we'll... if Dave doesn't run into the bathroom here, we will play another song from his new album, his first album in 10 years. As I said before, this first full-length concert in 8 years coming up Sunday the 29th at Davenport's. And now, ladies and gentlemen, go to Davenport's Piano Bar with no apostrophes and your smart people, DavenportsPianoBar.com, because Dave Gallagher's show, which is at 3:30 on the 29th of this month, is close to selling out as it should be. It is his first full-length concert in 8 years. People, many, many people have been waiting 8 years for this. And his first album in 10 years. I will play, before I let Dave go, one more tune from the album. But I will ask you, Dave, you say that this is it. This is your kind of farewell concert, right? Why is that?
I just never really enjoyed doing it because of my perfectionism. I just beat myself up on it. I am having fun. I got to say, I'm having fun when I've been going out singing. Ann and Mark have had me as their guest or whatever in their shows. They'll call me up and everything, and Eve of the Eve concerts they do, and that is kind of exciting. I have to admit now, I'm kind of liking it, you know. But and Denise Tomasello says, this is not going to be your last. I know you're going to want to do it again, but I'm like, I never was driven that way.
Yeah,
you know, I could have had a big concert career.
No
I chose
question.
Not to. I
no
chose
question.
Not to. I mean,
well, that cat chose.
Yeah, yeah. But before that, I mean, I did. I was all excited when I had like 28 concerts lined up. But then once I started doing them, I'm like, I'd rather stay at home. I, you know. But it was great talking to the people after the concerts and selling the CDs. Of course, it was great.
Sure.
You know, but I'm not driven that way.
Yeah.
You know, I like being behind the scenes, which is why I always liked helping other people achieve their career dreams.
Well, you've done it, Dave, for a generation of performers, and I appreciate you getting here under unbelievable difficulties.
I could have flown to New York at that time.
I know, man. I know. Difficult circumstances. But once again, before we hear it, I'm going to let Dave go while we're playing a song. Sunday, 3:30, the 29th of September, he will be at Davenport's at 1383 North Milwaukee Avenue, a place he knows well. He will be with some of the city's best musicians, and he will be singing a full-length concert for the first time in 8 years, and you will have, of course, CDs to purchase.
Yes,
there.
Yes. My whole back catalog, too, of three other CDs that
good.
I made.
It's good to see you. I'm going to write about you, Dave.
So happy.
I'm
going to
write
here.
About you, too.
Thank you.
You, too. It's been 22 years since we've done a radio show together, when we started our radio career.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave. I'm going to let Dave go, and God knows how he's going to get home if it takes. You know,
luckily, Bears. I don't have to go home.
The I'm Bears going to... game will be over by the time he gets home. You'll find a better way
I'm
home.
Going to Davenport's after here, so.
Oh, good, good. Here is another song to end. The show. What is this song, David?
This, I think, is my remake.
Sorry Seems the Hardest.
The Elton John cover. It's been a staple of my career since almost the beginning, and people really connect to that. I'm good at these sad songs. Jim Brickman told me, he said, nobody does heartbreak better than you, because that's really why I started singing, because I went through this awful breakup, and I was just singing sad songs all the time. So
you're also a great radio guest and a great, great guy.
Oh,
here,
you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Gallagher.